You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 65th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom, plus just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links you need to support and listen to my podcast. Been a little while since I've put out a podcast, a couple weeks. Been busy with the start of the school year, back at work, a lot of planning and whatnot to do. So really happy to be back behind the microphone today to bring you this episode. And we will start off this 65th episode of the podcast by talking about the recent action in Serie A from round six. What a great round of action we saw. I mean, we've kind of been spoiled this season with so many memorable games. And perhaps this round, more than any, at least in my opinion, out of the six so far, has been the best. So many entertaining games, so many back and forth games, score lines, back and forth action, plenty of late drama as well in a lot of these games. So really just an outstanding round from Serie A. And yes, I recognize I'm biased, and I recognize that a lot of my listeners of this podcast are probably biased, but for me, this is why Serie A is hands down the best league in the world. Let's start off with the good from round six. How about that Derby delle Capitale? First of the year, and it goes to Lazio, the highly anticipated matchup between Maurizio Sarri versus Mourinho. We know Mourinho often would downplay it, said it's not about the coaches, we don't take the field, but you know that both of these competitors, in terms of their coaching status, definitely wanted to get this win. And Maurizio Sarri, he got the edge in this one. Lazio beat Roma 3-2 in a great game. This was one of the many great games, as I alluded to earlier, from this round. It definitely lived up to the hype. Sometimes these big games, whether it's a big derby game or just a big matchup in general, they often, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes, occasionally, they certainly do not live up to the hype and all the expectations. But this one delivered, the first, again, of the Derby delle Capitale of the season. Lazio jumped out to the early and quick 2-0 lead. Roma ended up pulling one back, but Lazio took the 3-1 lead. Roma got another one on a penalty that Veretout converted. That cut it to 3-2, and that was the final score in the end, Lazio winning 3-2. Overall, for me, Lazio outplayed Roma from start to finish. I know that scoreline perhaps indicates a closer game, being 3-2, but for me, Lazio, again, they outplayed them. They looked a better team doing so in this game. When you think of back a few rounds when Lazio lost to Milan and really looked bad doing so, it was really a poor showing for Lazio against a top team like Milan. And I do think most of us would probably agree that Milan are a step above Lazio, but still, the way Lazio looked in that game against Milan, it was really flat, and it kind of had some of us, myself included, thinking perhaps this Lazio team won't be able to compete against some of the other top teams, and maybe they would struggle against those teams. But they are not, as they obviously, you know, they were able to not only hang with Roma in this one, but they outplayed them. Felipe Anderson, Ciro Immobile, they really stood out for Lazio and put in great performances. Immobile didn't score in this one, and I know, you know, he obviously would have loved, he always loves to score goals. It's what he does as a striker, and especially against a rival like Roma, he would have loved to score, but he did provide two assists and put in a great game. He did really outstanding work on that assist on the Felipe Anderson goal. I would encourage you to find that video somewhere on Twitter, the Ciro Immobile run and assist on the Felipe Anderson goal. It was great to see from your striker, from your number nine, to put in that type of work to help another teammate get that goal. You can see just how much this win meant to Maurizio Sarri. As I said, he certainly wanted to get this leg up on Jose Mourinho, and he did. You can see him celebrating at the end of the game. He put the eagle on his arm. It was really cool for Lazio fans to see that from Maurizio Sarri. A win like this certainly buys him goodwill amongst the Lazio fan base. Obviously, he just got there, but we know that soccer, Calcio fans in general, are very impatient, especially when it comes to such a big game against your rival Roma. You don't want to lose this game, no matter what the record is coming into this game. This is not a game that any fan wants to lose. So certainly this win buys him some, you know, goodwill amongst those Lazio fans. And honestly, this was somewhat of a needed win for Lazio. I know it's very early in the season. There's no need to overreact to things quite yet for the most part. And Lazio haven't looked horrible this season by any stretch of the imagination. But in some ways, I think this was a bit of a must-win for Lazio, perhaps more so than for Roma. They had not won any of their previous three games. They lost that game to Milan, as I mentioned, three rounds ago. Then it was two straight draws against Cagliari, who are not a very good team, against Torino, who have been a solid side this season and certainly starting to make that improvement under Ivan Juric. So it was a big win, a needed win for Lazio, and let's see if this kind of helps to jumpstart their campaign a bit. For Roma, as I said, they were outplayed in this one. There were certainly some moments for them. They were without Lorenzo Pellegrini, who has been their best player this season, so that didn't make anything easier for the Giallorossi, but that's not an excuse. They still have plenty of talented players on that team, but certainly the absence of Pellegrini was felt for the Giallorossi. Regardless, Tammy Abraham, he didn't have himself much of a game, and not entirely his fault. He really wasn't getting the support and the service he needed, and as I said, Lazio controlled most of the flow of this game, but I'm sure Roma fans would have loved and liked to have seen their new striker put in a better performance in this game, and I'm sure Tammy Abraham himself was disappointed. There was, you know, the questionable no penalty call on Zaniolo when he went down in the box, and I know that has been much debated on social media and whatnot and will be talked about certainly within the city of Rome and the Italian media for the days to come. He felt he should have been given a penalty. He went down, but if you ask me, I don't really think it was a penalty. It would have been a bit of a soft one. It certainly could have been called. If it would have been given a penalty, I don't think anyone would be overly shocked. I know Mourinho, after the game, he really did criticize the reffing in this one. But regardless, at the end of the day, he can only really look to his team. They were outplayed in this one. It wasn't necessarily a matter of a call here or there. I did like what Mourinho did at the end of the game. You saw him gather his team on the field. He's very adamant at getting all of his players around him on the field at the end of the game. And it looked like he wasn't necessarily killing his team or yelling at them. It seemed to be more of like a motivational, you know, little speech there at the end, if anything. That's how I interpret it. We'll see what quotes maybe come out from this in the coming days. But as far as I looked at it, the way I saw Mourinho talking and what I could kind of pick up from body language, it seemed more of a motivational kind of gathering of his players there on the field. No need to kill his team. He certainly has to pump them up and keep their confidence high because we all know it's a long season and Roma have now lost two in a row. They dropped those points and lost to Verona. That was a bit of a surprise. Now losing to Lazio. So Mourinho needs his team to wake up a bit and certainly react better. So I looked at this as more a motivational pump up and I really like that, what I saw from Mourinho. You don't see coaches do that too often after their team lose, you know, gathering his whole team around him on the field while, you know, your bitter rivals are celebrating with their fans and whatnot. So I liked what Mourinho did there at the end, but great win for Lazio and certainly happy to see Maurizio Sarri get a win like this. On to another good from this weekend, Napoli. They keep their winning ways going. Six wins in a row now out of six games for Napoli under Luciano Spalletti. So certainly all smiles and everything's clicking down in Naples. They beat Cagliari at home at the Stadio Diego Maradona. Osimhen, he keeps his scoring up. He's just been on a tear this season, and we're finally really starting to see what type of striker Osimhen could be. We saw glimpses of it last season. Obviously, he was ravaged with injuries, and the COVID situation hurt him. And when he did finally start to play some games down the stretch, we saw some of that potential. And this season, we're starting to see it. And certainly, you know, I'm really hoping and praying that he could put together himself a very good, long, healthy season. The play has just been outstanding from him. He has such a talented skill set. You know, his size, his height, his speed, his pace, his confidence. I mean, he's really kind of hit the ground running. His very first few moments in Serie A last season before he did get hurt, he was really playing well and really confident. So I really like what I've seen from Osimhen. I think he has the potential to become one of the best strikers in the world. I know maybe I'm speaking a bit hyperbolic and jumping the gun a bit, but I really do like what I've seen from Osimhen. He's a supreme talent, and you see the impact he's making with Napoli. I mean, when you consider they've done this so far this season without Dries Mertens, who's been arguably, you know, perhaps along with Lorenzo Insigne over the past few seasons, their best offensive player. So doing it without him, Osimhen has really done a nice job replacing Mertens. So a big win for Napoli. Not a surprise that they beat Cagliari. Cagliari are a team that are floundering. They already had made the coaching change, bringing in Walter Mazzarri. So, you know, this was a bit of a weird game for him returning to Napoli and losing this game. But a big win for Napoli. All well right now in Naples. Luciano Spalletti doing a great job. Really good start for Napoli, who are in first place in Serie A. All right, on to one of the other top games from this weekend, Inter-Atalanta. That was a highly touted game, and similar to like what I said with the Roma-Lazio game, a highly anticipated game that certainly delivered and lived up to all the hype. That one ended all squared at 2-2. What a game it was. Inter jumped out to the early lead thanks to a Lautaro Martinez goal, which came off of a beautiful assist from Nicola Barella. Atalanta fought hard to fight back and take a 2-1 lead in this game, and then it was Dzeko who provided a late equalizer to make it 2-2, which was the final score. But there was plenty of drama after Dzeko equalized the game. Inter were awarded a penalty late in the game and thought they had the winner sealed up there. It was Federico Di Marco who stepped up to take it, and he missed it. He hit the crossbar. And then a few minutes later, Atalanta thought they had the winner. Piccoli, he scored the goal. The team celebrated. It seemed like Atalanta were going to come away with the big 3-2 win against Inter. But then VAR ended up determining that when Handanovic had played the ball just moments before, it actually crossed over the line, so it was out of bounds. So the goal was taken away, obviously overturned. It was certainly a crazy ending. If you have Paramount Plus here in the United States, a streaming service, I would definitely encourage you to go back and watch that game on replay. It was a really good, highly entertaining 2-2 draw. I think there was like 20 goals. 20 goals. That'd be nuts. 20 shots combined on target between the two teams. So plenty of action in this one. But I look at this game and I could kind of take good things away for each team in this 2-2 draw. For Inter, Lautaro Martinez continues to play well and prove that he could be a lethal weapon without Lukaku next to him, playing alongside with him. As I mentioned, he scored a goal in this game. I know there were some who thought that perhaps Lautaro Martinez would experience a fall off, a drop off in his production, his play once Lukaku left, but the Argentine is stepping up in a big way and kind of, again, taking on that face of this attack and anchoring this attack. I know Dzeko's had a good season. Joaquin Correa had that game off the bench where he scored those two goals to help Inter come back and win that one. But it's really Lautaro establishing himself as the leader of the attack, the focal point, and I think that's what he wants to do. And again, he's filling that absence of Lukaku in a big way. As I mentioned, Barella, he assisted that goal, and he's really off to another great start this season. He's arguably, you know, one of the best midfielders in the world. He's been one of the best midfielders in Serie A these past two seasons, ever since really joining Inter, and he's looking to solidify that again this season. Also, you know, facing Atalanta has been Inter's toughest challenge. If you look at who's Inter's faced this season, they've had some difficult opponents, some difficult games. They drew against Sampdoria, a team that I actually have a bit of respect for and actually think are a tough team. But you know, Atalanta, at least on paper, has been their toughest challenge to date. And for them to fight back, I know they took the 1-0 lead. They conceded it. As I said, they were down 2-1. And for them to fight back and not just crawl into a hole or whatever, I'd look at that as a positive for the Nerazzurri. For Atalanta, they haven't looked that good this season. It's certainly been a slow start for them. They're not scoring goals at the rate that we expect them to. They're dropping points against certain opponents this season that normally we would expect them to win against, especially some dropping some points at home in Bergamo. And I was really curious to see how they would fare against Inter, because you could argue that this was their toughest challenge to date this season in the young season. And when they fell behind 1-0 early against Inter, I thought, you know, maybe this was going to be a long game for La Dea. This was going to be, you know, just a drumming for them and just kind of further that narrative that perhaps this could be the year we see Atalanta fall out of the top four. But give Gasperini's side credit. They fought back. They played well. They took the lead. They almost, as I said, thought they had that game winner. But getting a point against Inter at the San Siro is plenty to celebrate for any team. So this was a good for me from an Atalanta standpoint as well. Malinowski, he had himself a really good game. He scored one of his trademark rocket-like goals. So again, I look at this 2-2 draw. I'm sure both fan bases felt that they should have won the game when Di Marco missed that penalty. And at least when Inter was awarded the penalty, I'm sure Inter fans were thinking they were going to win it. Then Di Marco missed it. Piccoli, he scored that goal that ended up getting overturned. So I'm sure both fan bases were a bit disappointed they didn't come away with the 3 points. But I think you could look at this game and certainly take away positives from both of it. So that was a good for me from this weekend. I know I often criticize Juventus on this podcast, and I promise I am not a Juve hater. It's just that, you know, when you think about last season and they're barely narrowly finishing fourth place, and obviously the horrendous start they've gotten off to this season, there's been plenty to criticize Juventus for, but I promise I'm not a Juve hater. I will show them some love on this episode. They beat a tricky Sampdoria side. As I said, I do respect the Sampdoria side. I know their record hasn't been great this season with Roberto De Versa guiding the way, but they got plenty of veterans on that team, players like Candreva, Quagliarella, Caputo, and others that I respect a lot. But Juventus were able to win 3-2, and it's two wins in a row now for the Bianconeri. A lot of work to still do for this side, certainly. All their problems are not fixed just because they've won two in a row, but certainly reason to be more optimistic if you're a Juventus fan. But this win, you know, should help Juve have confidence heading into their big Champions League game on Wednesday when they got to face Chelsea, which would be a tough challenge for them, and a really another good measuring stick for maybe just how much this Juventus team have improved over the past couple of weeks with these two wins in a row in Serie A. Locatelli scored a goal in this game. It was his first for Juventus, so that had to be special for him. I'm sure that was a moment he was waiting to, visualize, and he's been visualizing in his mind and has been waiting for us ever since he signed with Juventus, so I was happy to see Locatelli get that goal. Dybala scored the opening goal for Juventus, something that he's done already this season, but he ended up leaving with an injury, and as he was walking off the field, he was crying. It was a muscular issue. At the time I'm recording this podcast, we don't know the extent of the injury, but certainly Juve will be without him against Chelsea on Wednesday. And you would think that, I don't want to, infer or make any assumptions, but I certainly looks like he will miss a little bit of length of time, depending on the extent of the injury. It did not look good, considering that he was in tears walking off. So it's certainly unfortunate for Dybala. It's unfortunate for Juventus. They need Dybala, right? As we said, I know the team has won two in a row, but overall they're not in a place where they want to be at this point in the season. So they certainly need Dybala. They can't keep dealing with these injuries. And if you're Juventus and you're looking to give Dybala a new big contract extension, which obviously we know it's been talked about a lot, they're working on it. It seems that it's always close. That's all you hear in the media. But I'm sure Juventus have to have some pause in giving him that big contract, given Dybala's, injury history. It's just unfortunate for Dybala. But again, Juventus won. That's the most important thing for them. They need those wins. They need those 3 points to keep piling up, stacking up. They did concede 2 goals again. They've uncharacteristically, they're allowing a lot of goals this season, much more than what we're used to. I think they've conceded 10 goals through 6 games, which again is very uncharacteristic of them, which I'll talk about a little bit later on this episode. But again, I think the most important thing for Juventus fans is you're getting the wins. I guess you could live with the conceding of the goals as long as you're getting the wins, but I don't know that it's going to always be, reasonable or feasible to expect Juventus to keep scoring 3 goals. So certainly they got to tighten up things in the back, but they got the win. Milan pulled off a late 2-1 win over Spezia thanks to a winner from Brahim Diaz. He came off the bench and scored that goal. The young Spaniard is off to a fast start in his second season with the Rossoneri, and he's really playing well. And obviously we know he's wearing that new number 10 shirt for the Rossoneri and doing it proud. Milan are playing well, doing so without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, something they often had to do last season, and at this point, something they're used to this season. They're in second place in Serie A, only behind Napoli. And I'll say this right now, between Napoli, Milan, Inter, for me, those are the top 3 teams in Serie A, clearly. I know Atalanta, Lazio, Roma, they're in the mix. Fiorentina have looked good this season. Certainly, you can't put Juventus in that category right now with how things have gone, but I think there's a clear top 3 right now through 6 rounds, and it's Napoli, Milan, and Inter. Not necessarily in that order, although it could be in that order. Obviously, that's the order of the standings, but you could argue just in terms of the eye tests, perhaps Napoli have looked the best, Milan second best, and Inter the third best. Napoli and Milan have yet to face a defeat. Neither have Inter, but Inter have dropped the most points between those 3 sides. So again, big win for Milan. Brahim Diaz, a win though they should have had. I shouldn't really tout it as a big win. They should have beat Spezia. They left it late, but a big win in the sense that Brahim Diaz provided that late winner and some excitement in that one. Got to show a little bit of love for Fiorentina. It seems like I often just throw them in at the end of this good segment. They beat Udinese 1-0. La Viola bounced back after their loss against Inter, so it was good to see them bounce back from that loss. They got 3 points. 4 wins out of 6 games for Italiano side. They lost the other 2 games, so it's been feast or famine so far for Fiorentina under Italiano, but all good so far in Florence early in the season. Certainly considering the seasons that they've been dealing with over the past couple of years, this has been a dream season for La Viola and their fans. On to the bad. Look, I said Inter getting that draw against Atalanta was a fair result and a good one. As I said, I pointed out goods for each side, but Handanovic had himself another shaky game, and he's really becoming a liability for Inter, and that's certainly not what the Nerazzurri need and their fans want. Anytime you have a shaky goalie, you're constantly, I feel like, watching a game and living on the edge of your seat, and it's just so nerve-wracking when you have that shaky goalie or shaky defense. We know Inter's defense is stout and one of the best in Europe with the trio of De Vrij and Skriniar and Bastoni and I know DeMarco missed that penalty, but defensively, I've liked what he's brought to the pieces to the table. Dumfries has stepped in well for Hakimi, so it's not necessarily like their defense is any worse. But Handanovic certainly is shaky. Of course, he still comes up with the big saves, but it's not like he lets everything by him. But he is letting some get by him that he really shouldn't. That you would expect a goalie to make those saves. The Piccoli goal for Atalanta, it ended up not counting, but That was a shot that Handanovic should have saved, in my opinion. So he got bailed out by VAR, and that goal got taken away. So he should be very happy that VAR overtook that goal, and rightfully so. The ball was clearly out before. It was certainly the right decision, but again, he should have saved that Piccoli goal, or no goal, I should say, but he should have saved that shot. It's been, you know, there's been several points this season, several shots that you could point to that Handanovic should have saved. I know a lot of Inter fans are upset with Handanovic this season. And look, they won the Scudetto with him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they could do it again this year, replicate it this season. I mentioned Juventus conceding a lot of goals. We've seen Szczęsny. He's made several mistakes this season, and he's come under a lot of fire from Juventus fans, from the Italian media. Allegri did start Mattia Perin in this game against Sampdoria. Obviously, he conceded those two goals, but I would assume Szczęsny will keep his role. But obviously, you know, a lot of games lately, Juventus have been playing between the Champions League. There was midweek Serie A games. They got the Champions League this week. So, you know, perhaps just giving Szczęsny a day to clear his mind. But, you know, these two important goalies off the shaky starts. If Juventus really want to turn this season around, they want to get back to competing for that Scudetto, which I'm sure they're hoping they can still do. They're not giving up hope that they can't win the Scudetto still. They certainly want to finish top four. They would love to compete in Europe, obviously make a deep run in the Champions League. They're going to need Szczęsny to turn things around and get back to, you know, being that top goalie that we've seen him be over the past couple seasons with the Bianconeri. And same thing for Inter. I mean, again, they've looked good this season. I'm not saying the sky's falling. You know, if you've listened to me on this podcast, I've been very high in Inter, and I feel that they are still perhaps the Scudetto favorites, although Napoli are certainly starting to make a bit of a case, even Milan. But Inter right there, as I said, they're part of my top three teams in the league so far, clearly. I think there's a significant drop-off between Napoli, Milan, Inter, and the rest. But if Inter want to stay up there, if Inter really want to compete for the Scudetto, they're going to need better from Handanovic. And I know Handanovic is probably as hardest on him than any of us could be criticizing him. He's probably the hardest on himself and really upset with himself. Obviously, he's getting up there in age. Perhaps the reflexes, the athleticism isn't always as great as it was when he was a bit younger. But certainly, he needs to get things going again. But that was just a bad. I wanted to mention some of the goalkeeping play we've seen recently, especially that Handanovic. I thought he should have saved that Piccoli goal that ended up getting overturned. One more bad I wanted to mention from this round, Salernitana. They lose to Sassuolo 1-0. Now, not a brutal scoreline, obviously. We know Sassuolo has plenty of offensive weapons, and perhaps you know, they're capable of scoring three goals on a lot of teams, especially a bottom team like Salernitana. So I guess you could kind of be optimistic it was only 1-0, but at the end of the day, it's five losses out of six games so far for the Salerno-based side, and they had the other one was a draw. Look, you knew it was going to be a long season for Salernitana at moments this season. They've shown some glimpses. It was the first game of the season. They almost beat Bologna. They almost at least came away with a draw. They've shown moments. They pushed Atalanta in their game last week into the brink and almost came away with a draw against Atalanta, but the losses are certainly starting to pile up for Salernitana. They're stuck on just 1 point after six games. It's certainly not going to get the job done. I don't think many people were picking this team to stay up in Serie A, but you just wonder how bad and how long of a season can this be for the Granada. And you also kind of just wonder how much longer will their coach Fabrizio Castori keep his job. Probably not long, right? We've already seen two coaching changes this season. Mazzari taking over at Cagliari, Tudor taking over at Verona, and you know, he's kind of worked some magic at Verona, turning things around a bit for them, replacing Di Francesco. So you wonder if Salernitana will look to shake things up soon and perhaps look to replace Castori. But just, again, too many losses piling up for the Granada. And five out of six, 1 point through six games. I mean, it's a brutal, rough start for Salernitana, who are back in Serie A for the first time in a while. So that will do it for the 65th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Audible, just about anywhere you can get your podcasts. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. Feel free to spread the word of the Calcio Corner podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.